somebody said something like, the only way she'll survive is if we fly in a neurological expert to save her. That's the only way we're going to save her life. And then there's this whole cheesy musical number where the guy's like, I love you. And like, he's like so over the top. And then the musical number ends. And the woman walks in, she goes, hi, I'm a neurological scientist, expert from I've just flown in from 200 miles. And I'm like, that's just ridiculous.
But it's basically a faith-based film, and you have this little girl pouring whiskey to Christine Baranski. I'm like, what is happening?
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Danjo Film Show. Hope you're well. Hope you're staying safe wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening to us again. And boy, have we got a treat for you today, because a little bit early, but is it ever really too early for a Christmas themed show? We're going to look at three Christmas films today, a little festive fun to lighten you up wherever you are across the world. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime. He's somebody I could kiss under the mistletoe many, many times. It's Joe Richards.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go down the Rudolph route on that one. I suddenly had a nervous pang in my stomach that you were going to do like a Rudolph related introduction or something like that, just because of my ginormous nose or something like that, you know. But that's very kind of you, Dan. That's like the kindest introduction I think I could have hoped for the Christmas show. But how are you?
I'm being deceptive. You just wait now. You wait till the next show.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess the actual Christmas special, I guess you've got some big plans for that. So maybe I spoke a bit too soon there. But how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. Obviously, the end of the year is fast approaching. It's honestly, 2020 feels like a blur and a nightmare in the same way. It feels like it's gone so fast, but so slow at the same time. It feels very, very strange. But yeah, I'm doing very, very well at the minute. School's coming to the end now of the year. We've got two more weeks. And then it is all kind of Christmas time, you know, Boxing Day, New Year's will be here before you know it. But I'm really excited for today's show because I love a good Christmas movie, and we've got some fine Christmas films for you today. But how are you, Joey?
Yeah, I'm all good. Sad news, obviously, recently here in Wales over the past couple of days about cinemas closing again. Like, I watched the Welsh press conference earlier on today, and it just makes no sense to me still. The UK government and the Welsh government have admitted that there's not been a single case of COVID to have been reported in a cinema setting. So it's very strange to me that they're closing the cinemas yet again. We seem to be in a position at the moment where we're getting these big releases or announced like, oh, this is going to be out in a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden the cinemas have to close again. So that's a bit sad, isn't it? But we had a little trip to the cinema yesterday together to kind of make the most before the dark days come again. And we went to see The Wolf Walkers, directed by Tom Moore, which was fantastic. Absolutely loved that. And I'm glad we got to see it on a big screen, because I know it's coming to Apple TV very soon. But it was nice to go see something like that. If that's the last film we get to see on the big screen for a while, I think I'll be okay with that.
Definitely. And I'm not going to give too much away, but our guest is a big fan of the film, so we're definitely going to chat to her about that late in just a little bit. You heard a little screech there. it was fantastic. It was such a nice time. Even though the film is not Christmassy, I felt a little Christmassy, you know?
Yeah.
It was nice. It was really, really definitely nice. And like you said, it might be the last time we go to the cinema this year. Hopefully not, but I think it might be. And obviously, we're going to be talking all about the big release left of the year, Wonder Woman 84, in just a little bit. What's going to happen to that? But it's time to introduce our guest on today's show. She's been here twice before, and we just love having her on. We couldn't think of a better guest to have on for the Christmas theme show. Please welcome the one, the only, Rachel Wagner to the show.
Ho, ho, ho. I'm so glad to be here. This is so exciting. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming, Rachel. It's always a pleasure. And first things first, should we just let you rave about Wolfwalkers? Because I know it's your favorite film of the year.
Yes, my favorite film of 2020. I absolutely adore it. I've now actually seen Soul from Pixar. That was the big one that I was like, maybe that'll be better. Nope. Still like Wolfwalkers the best. I just loved it. I loved the story of the two girls. I loved the artistry. I loved the music. I thought it felt like a modern day Princess Mononoke without the blood and violence.
Yeah.
I just thought it was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've loved all of Tom Moore's films.
Yes.
I think they are all masterpieces. And I don't say that word lightly, but I've loved all three of his films. And I think he probably won't, but I think he should win Best Animated Film. It is, in my opinion, the best animated film of 2020, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That'd be really interesting to see what it's nominated for come, 2021 in the award categories. But yeah, definitely worth a nomination at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, and I think the Cartoon Saloon, you could argue they're the strongest studio making movies today. I mean, I can't imagine it not getting nominated. I would be shocked. So all of their films that they've released will have been nominated for the Oscar. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, fingers crossed for the Oscars, definitely. And obviously, Rachel, last time we had you on, a lot has happened in America since then. we're not a political show at all. Yeah. We don't get into politics, but obviously there is a new president of the United States, we think.
Yes.
or they will be come January, hopefully. And obviously, just recently, you've celebrated Thanksgiving, which is a huge celebration in America. I wish we were part of it. I wish the UK had a Thanksgiving because it looks amazing. And I saw some pictures that you with your family at Thanksgiving. How is that for you?
I mean, you all ought to join in. I mean, what's the downside? You get a day to eat and buy things at on discount. It's a great day.
Exactly. I mean, we already do Black Friday. We've already stolen back Black Friday from ourselves. Yeah. So if we've stolen Black Friday, it makes perfect sense to just steal Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, that's right. I had a really nice day. It was just me and my parents for Thanksgiving. And it was interesting because my mom made one pie because there's just three of us. We don't need more than one pie. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, have you ever been to Thanksgiving with one pie? This is so, so strange. it was really nice. And they watched a Hallmark movie with me, my parents, and that was fun. And because I host a podcast called the Hallmarkies Podcast, which is over in the States, is a channel that has rom-coms and holiday films, and they have their 7-night Hallmark Thanksgiving marathon. Wow. Where they have every night of that week. And on the weekends, they have a new movie. And so it's been pretty intense as far as covering it for the podcast. It took us, by the end, it'll have been 7 episodes of recaps to cover from Friday until the next Sunday. So all those days just on the Hallmark Channel to cover all that content.
And can I just say, you are very committed to watching Hallmark Christmas movies, because the last time we had you on, it was the start of September, and you were already thinking about Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
And you kind of you've set yourself a target to watch, I believe it was like 140 Christmas films you wanted to watch. How far are you so far with the Hallmark Christmas movies?
I just logged my 60th Christmas movie of the season. So not just Hallmark, but Netflix, Lifetime, and we're just about to get into December, so we'll watch 60. I think I'll probably actually end up with just over 100 this year, And so, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's not too shabby at all, considering I've seen in total about 170 films this year. 100, like, Christmas movies alone is not too bad going, I've got to say.
Yeah. In fairness, they're not really, they're not, like, feature film length. So it's a little bit, it's a little bit, makes it sound better than it really is. But I've watched 258 total films new in 2020. Yeah. Total.
Wow. Well, well done, Rachel. We salute you. We salute you. And can I just say, the Hallmark Channel should be sponsoring you right now because, you know, you're their official watcher.
we're open to it. We're available.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. Lovely.
Your time will come, Diana. You will become all that you dream of and more.
The world needs you.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing good is born from lies. And greatness is not what you think.
First things first, we're going to get to the big news story of this week, and that is that Wonder Woman 84, which has been delayed numerous times, supposed to come out in June, delayed till October. It's now set an official release date over in America, December 25th, Christmas Day. It is going to be simultaneously shown in theatres, but also on HBO Max, which was, I know a lot of rumours going around about that. And over here in the UK, it is getting a theatrical release only on December 16th, but we'll see how that goes. Rachel, over to you. Obviously, I know you're a big fan of Wonder Woman, and kind of, you know, you really enjoyed the first film. I enjoyed the first film too. Did you predict this? Did you predict they were going to do a theatre HBO Max, or did you think it was going to go straight to streaming?
I didn't actually. I thought they were going to delay it again, and I said that with while rolling my eyes because I'm so tired of all the delays that even though I was so excited about the movie, I kind of feel like a lot of that excitement has wavered, and it's just given me sort of more time to kind of like. I didn't love the last trailer, and it's just, I feel like there's only so many times you can get hyped up about a film. So I was just like, oh, if they're going to delay it again, I'll be so annoyed. But I felt like that was what they were going to do. So I was pleasantly surprised when I heard that they were going to be releasing it and same day and time, in the theaters and on HBO Max. And so I'm definitely going to, you know, try to go see it at the theaters. I'm lucky to be able to do so safely. But yeah, there's a side of me that just feels like the air has gone out of the balloon in this movie, that it's just that excitement has, I kind of wish they had released it in August instead of Tenet. I think it would have done better than Tenet. I think it would have given people more confidence in the safety of the theater experience, and we would have a whole different situation going on now than with Tenet. The whole thing is just frustrating.
That's a really interesting point, actually, which one I've not really thought about before in terms of the whole Wonder Woman versus Tenet kind of argument, because I do think you're onto something there, because obviously Tenet is as you know, bigger filmmaker as Christopher Nolan is, I mean, there would be a lot of people who'd be like, well, I can't necessarily take my, I mean, I took my niece to watch the first Wonder Woman film. I wouldn't take my niece necessarily to see Christopher Nolan's Tenet. So there is that interesting, you know what I mean? Like that kind of argument of, you know, this is a superhero movie, which would probably have hit a wider audience than Tenet ever, even though, you know, Tenet, I think, as Dan has said before, it's done remarkably well considering the circumstances. Wonder Woman, probably, you're right, I think, would have hit a far wider audience than Tenet ever could have.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to try that trickle out kind of approach, you know, that they were doing where they were going to, you know, give it like 2-3 months, and I just think it makes more sense to pick a really crowd-pleasing film. And Tenet, even if people enjoyed it, which I didn't really, it's not a crowd pleaser. It's a challenging film. It's even the sound design makes it difficult and frustrating. And so Wonder Woman, I just think, makes so much more sense to be something that is your test case. But it is what it is. That's 2020 for you. But I'm thrilled that we get to see it. I was skeptical, and so I'm happy. I mean, Christmas Day is going to be amazing because people will get to see Soul and Wonder Woman. And for people that want more artsy type of film, Promising Young Women comes out on Christmas Day. So that's a whiplash. From Wonder Woman to Promising Young Woman to Soul.
Yeah, I can't wait for Promising Young Woman. Very much
Christmas Day.
Yeah, but definitely.
What a combination. Pixar, feminism, and a superhero. Great. Yeah, please don't mix them up. Please don't let your kids watch Promising Young Woman.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Please don't do that. They're going to have a surprise.
Yeah, if they do, if they watch Promising Young Woman, then have them watch Soul next, because that will help them work through all of
those feelings. Yeah, definitely.
I agree with you guys. I think, as I liked Tenet quite a bit, I liked the fact that it challenged me intellectually, and even after the third viewing I still didn't have a clue what it was about, but that's just me. But you're right, I think Wonder Woman is a more accessible film, isn't it? I think for families, for superhero fans, and I think hypothetically it would have been interesting if they had released it back in the summer, because let's face it, Wonder Woman is a summer blockbuster movie, and maybe move Tenet to now, how that would have played out, because I'm one of the few that thinks Tenet performed really well at the box office. I think it's done really well under the circumstances of a global pandemic, but when you really think about how well Wonder Woman could have done in the summer, and bear in mind, I think the summer was a very different time to how it is now, especially here in the UK. I worry about how Wonder Woman is going to perform, especially here in the UK, because we've got lockdowns going all over the place. I mean, Wales are kind of in lockdown. We've got a lot of restrictions over here. Cinemas are closed. England have some areas are closed, cinemas, some areas are open. So it's going to be interesting to see. But fingers crossed.
Do you have HBO Max?
No,
we don't.
Oh, so you don't get it streaming.
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be the interesting thing now, whether or not, because, initially when it was announced, we Brits kind of thought we had the great deal, because it's only going to be released in cinemas, and it's going to be released, on the 16th of December. So we get to see a little bit earlier as well. And we thought, fantastic, that's great. But now we're in a position where, as Dan said, Wales, all the cinemas are going to be shut in Wales. A large proportion of cinemas in England are closed. So now Warner Brothers, I guess, face that decision of, are there enough cinemas open to, release it realistically into cinemas and turn a good profit? Or are they going to do the similar thing where they release it on another streaming site like Amazon and, and do PVOD and charge, £17 or whatever it is to watch it? So it's going to be really, really interesting. I mean, at this stage, I'd be surprised if they release it under these circumstances, but you just don't know. As you said, Rachel, that 2020, anything could happen right now.
And I think obviously a lot of questions now about another female-led superhero film, Black Widow, because that's been delayed quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you guys saw this. I sent it to Joe. There was a video leaked online about the upcoming 2021 trailer for Disney Plus, and it had Black Widow April 16th on Premier Access on Disney Plus. So they're potentially going to do what they did with Mulan, which is charge $30 in America, £20 over here, for you to rent it on Disney Plus. How do we feel about this? Do you think it's a given? Do you think they're going to do it, or do you think this is still going to get a theater release?
I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up going to Disney Plus. I would be surprised if they do the premiere, just because they've been so late in getting all the Marvel content, not only just movies but all the shows and everything, and we didn't get anything from Marvel for all of 2020. I feel like fans, that will not be a popular decision if they do that. So I feel like it didn't go that well doing it with Mulan. They didn't do it with Soul. So now after I've seen Soul, I have to say I enjoyed it. But I actually think Disney Plus is the right spot for it. It's the kind of movie you want to watch with your journal and you want to write like deep thoughts. It's very it's very abstract, and it's not really for kids hardly at all, in my opinion, at least. There's really no main child characters. It's just about a man and his existential crisis, basically. I actually think Disney Plus makes sense for that movie. But with Black Widow, currently they have it scheduled for like April. Is that right?
Yeah. That's what the trailer said. Yeah, the leaked trailer.
Well, no, but I think they have it right now, currently.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's due for April release. Yeah, worldwide anyway, I think. Yeah.
I mean, that's right on the line of when we're supposed to have quite a few rounds of the vaccinations. It's going to be tricky with planning things because they're going to start, at least here in Utah, they're starting with the frontline workers in December, believe it or not, with vaccinations, and then they're going to be doing a couple rollouts for more and more people in the beginning of the year. So by April, that's going to be right on that like maybe kind of line. And so I don't know, it's so hard to know these days, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Disney Plus. I would be more surprised if they do Premier Access. I really would.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Wait and see. Either way, Disney Plus are getting a good paycheck. That's all I'm gonna say.
No doubt.
There we are. But Wonder Woman 84 is released on Christmas Day in America on HBO Max and theaters, and it's also released here in the UK on December 16th theatrically.
Christmas is a time for caring, being at your best. Christmas is a time for sharing, knowing you've been blessed. There are the haves and the have-nots, and you could be either one.
Who are you?
Well, Angel.
What do you want from me?
Change.
What you're doing now is such a low blow. Demolishing the lives of all the people you know.
The deadline to be out of your homes is now Christmas Eve.
Gotta get out of this town.
Christmas on the square.
There's no reason to wait around.
Everybody's there.
I know it's the time I'll lose my mind if I don't get out of this town.
You find that light and it will lead you to the part of you lost.
What might that be?
The part that can be happy. Christmas is a time for caring, being at your best.
Christmas is a time for sharing, knowing you've been blessed.
Christmas is a time for angels, making things all right.
Oh, what joyful bliss!
On the square.
The first film we're going to talk about is a doozy. I've been so excited to talk about this movie. And this one is Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. It's available on Netflix. So this is directed by Debbie Allen. It obviously stars Dolly Parton. She plays Angel. And she basically goes to greet Christine Brinsky, who plays this really obnoxious, horrible, nasty businesswoman. She wants to evict the town. She wants to get rid of them all. She wants to build the town into this new shopping complex. Obviously, the community in this little village are against it. And they show that through multiple song and dance numbers as she hands out the eviction notices, like the sassy queen she is. And basically, what happens from there is Dolly Parton greets Christina Brinsky as the angel and tries for her to change her ways in order to save the town. Before I saw this film, I knew absolutely nothing about it. I hadn't seen the trailer, hadn't really even seen the poster. I didn't know. I didn't even know it was a musical going into it. I just thought, is this Dolly Parton's home video Christmas concert? We didn't even know. But the first thing got me was the cast. The cast is great. I love Christine Brinsky. She was great in Bad Mums Christmas, yes. Bad Mums 2. And she plays a very similar character where she just plays this really sharp, sassy, really horrible, says it like it is woman who doesn't care what people think of her. She plays that character really, really well. I'm sure she's a lovely person in real life, but she plays it so well. And also you've got a great cast here. Treat Williams is also in here too. Great, great cast. And obviously Dolly Parton is in here as well. So going in, I had no idea what this was going to be about. And what I'll say is this. If you want a campy, over-the-top, fantastical musical where the community has song and dance numbers for everything, and I mean everything, then you are in treat. You know, the pastor's wife is infertile. There's a song and dance number for it. A young girl's parents were killed in a car accident. There's a song and dance number for it. I mean, somebody opened a shop. There's a song and dance number for it. So I think if you go into this expecting that and you embrace it, I think you're going to have a really good time with this. And what I love about films like this is whether they're good or bad, whether they're well scripted, whether it's a high quality film or not, it's conviction. And this film has lots of conviction. It goes for it. We've got choreography in every second. We've got Dolly Parton as Scrooge and then the Angel. Terrible special effects. I mean, it's got everything you want from this kind of campy feast for the festive season. It really had everything for me, especially. And I just kind of went along with it. And, you know, there's no denying. I think there's some pacing issues. The film took a lot. I had to pause a lot through this film because I just found certain bits very dull. But what I liked about it is, for me, I liked the fact that it had kind of a religious message to it and a religious undertone to it. I really appreciated that. And again, I think Dolly Parton's really poured her heart and soul into this. She's written all the music and the lyrics for the film. And there's 14 original songs. There's a lot of songs in this movie. Some are better than others. But what I liked is everybody really kind of committed to their role, especially Christine Baranski. I thought she was the standout here. I thought she stole every scene she was in. And I kind of sympathized with the character towards the end. I kind of thought it was really sweet and heartwarming towards the end. And yes, it's incredibly cheesy. It's very generic. It's like every other Christmas film you've ever seen in your life. It's doing nothing original or new. But it's on Netflix. If you're a fan of Dolly Parton and you love her music and you're just going in for a camp fantastical musical, I think you're going to enjoy this. I know I'm in the minority with you guys on this. I probably liked it the most, but I just kind of took to it and I didn't dislike it at all. So that's my take on it. I love you, Dolly. Keep working 9 to 5. Rachel, what did you think of this?
Well, I was the opposite of you because I was super excited about this. I love Dolly. I adore her. And I love musicals and I love Christmas movies. So I was certain I was going to love this movie. And then I put it on and I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't mind the campiness. I felt like they could have even leaned into that even more. But there was particularly one part that's kind of spoilery that lost me. How do I say this? There's a plot line with somebody who has placed a baby up for adoption, but she didn't have any choice. The baby was just taken from her. And they act like that is somehow that, oh, he was really doing her a favor and that he knew what was right for everybody involved. And I'm like, no, you did not. I mean, I am a huge adoption advocate and I believe in it. I think it's beautiful when it's done right, but you never take a woman's baby from them. That is wrong. And it has to be her choice. So that annoyed me. And that was kind of the moral undercurrent of the whole film was this, that this person had really been kind and seen what was right all along. And I'm like, no, you don't steal someone's baby from them. So that bothered me. And then also it felt like watching a community play. Like literally watching a play, like not a film, like watching a play. And like everybody involved is having a great time and they're so sweet and wonderful. And you're sitting in their audience being like, I'm so glad they're having a great time, but can I leave? And that's how I felt because I don't know. I just thought it wasn't great. And so I was disappointed, but then I had very high expectations. But there are some good songs and Dolly is a delight. So if you go in expecting sort of like one of these live musicals, that we see these days and not expecting a movie, then I think you'll like it more. But I really didn't like that plot with the adoption.
Yeah, don't give away other people's babies like that. Yes. That's like the going to be like the headline of this show. Don't give away people's babies, especially that's without right. the permission. You know, that should be right. that should be understood by now, but clearly not in this movie. But I mean, I laughed a lot in this film for all the wrong reasons. I mean, from the get-go. That. From the get-go, like, and part of it is because, I mean, like, Josh Segarra, the actor who plays Pastor Christian, he comes on screen and I look at him and I think, I know him from somewhere, like, I've seen him from somewhere. And the last thing I saw him in was RuPaul did a Netflix comedy called AJ and the Queen, and it was about like an aging drag queen, and she goes on a road trip with a child to like reunite her with her estranged parents. And this guy Josh Segarra, he plays like a guy who walks around shirtless pretty much the whole show, the whole series, and he's like a con artist, and like he was in a relationship with RuPaul, and then he like cons him out of money and everything like that. So from the off, I was like, I don't buy this guy as a pastor, because like the last time I saw you, you were
he's
walking
too good
around
looking.
Shirtless. Exactly, right? I'm like,
he's an Abercrombie and Fitch pastor, okay?
Yeah, you know,
think about that scene where the little girl is behind the bar serving alcohol and they a whole scene, a whole song. I was like, what is happening?
That was hilarious. But I gotta say my highlight of the whole film, and I was genuinely crying with laughter, was when, I gotta try and say this without a serious face. There's an accident and somebody's hospitalized, and that's not the funny bit. But like somebody says something like, the only way she'll survive is if we fly in a neurological expert to save her. That's the only way we're going to save her life. And then there's this whole cheesy musical number where the guy's like, I love you. And like, he's like so over the top. And then the musical number ends and the woman walks in, she goes, hi, I'm a neurological scientist, expert I've just flown in from 200 miles. I'm like, that's just ridiculous.
But it's basically a faith-based film, and you have this little girl pouring whiskey to Christine Baranski. I'm like, what is happening?
It is absolutely like ludicrous, and I laughed a lot all the way through it, and just all the other side characters. Like, Dan, you sent me a video at the end when they're in the church and there's a big reveal. And all the people the background actors looking shocked and stuff. So funny. I laughed so much at it, mainly, to be honest. I didn't rate it much at all. I just thought it felt like a parody more than anything. And like Rachel said, it looks like everybody's having a great time, and that's lovely. But yeah, you do just kind of want to, just kind of wish that you could leave and just leave them to it, really. So I didn't buy it at all. It is laughable. I love the flashback sequence and it just didn't make any sense at all. You know, the fact that this woman, you know, when, growing up, she was in love with the shop owner guy, you know, when they were both students. And then she sees him with an engagement ring or whatever, and just naturally assumes he's going to propose to another woman. So that night she just meets a guy with a goatee who looks like he shouldn't even be in high school. He looks about 35, and he's in a high school prom. And that night, I'm honestly supposed to believe that she's in love with this man. And then this night she sees a guy with like an unbuttoned shirt and a goatee and decides, yeah, I'm going to like, you know, sleep with this man. Like, I didn't buy that whole plot line at all. And it was just silly. But as Rachel rightly said, Dolly Parton is an angel, and we love Dolly. And plus, she put all that money into a COVID vaccine. Oh, yeah. So we can't be too harsh on her, you know, because she is an angel on and off screen. So,
well, I tell you what I'm going to do for Dolly in 2021, when theatres are open, I'm going to put on my own community theatre production of Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. Okay. And I will be taking the role of the pastor. Because I'm no model.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I will be shirtless.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go for Dolly.
No.
You'll and have I'd say to what, live stream it, and I will watch.
Yes, and what I'm going to do is for the bar scene, we're going to have real whiskey, and the kid's going to drink it too. We're going to have a whale of a time. It's going to be great. But there we are. Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square is available on Netflix now, so check it out.
You're on hallowed ground here. You're about to witness something that no one else on Earth has ever seen before.
Let's see if you can handle this!
Guess this is your lucky day, you cat.
Welcome to the North Pole.
Santa!
Kate Pierce.
How did you get here?
You and Jack are supposed to be on vacation with your family.
Our shuttle fell into this wormhole.
Have a nice trip.
Are you Mrs. Claus?
Uh-huh.
Ah! What is that thing?
Here's an F.
You're in Santa's village, the real one.
Wow, this is incredible.
We have over 300,000 shops in the village.
Whoa.
Everyone designed by Mrs. Claus.
She designed this place. I think it should be called Mrs. Claus's Village.
Me too.
Well, I never thought of that.
Of course you didn't.
What is that?
That is the Christmas star.
Created by the forest elves in 312 AD.
The star protects us and keeps us hidden.
And I'm here to steal it.
What's happening?
I'm gonna make everybody forget that the North Pole and Santa Claus ever existed.
Bellsnickel.
This is bad. Without the star, the North Pole, the village, Christmas is doomed!
Like for this year?
Like forever.
We can't let that happen. Christmas must endure. Let's do this.
We have to stop him!
Hold on tight. This might get a little rough.
Isn't it dangerous out there?
I'm arming you with these.
You're arming me with cookies.
You spend every hour of every year getting ready for one lousy day.
Help me, somebody!
Come on!
A day that brings joy to children all over the world. And that will never change.
Sometimes I think you actually enjoy these little dangerous escapades.
Moving on now to another Netflix festive film. Very different, and no kids drinking whiskey in this one. This is Christmas Chronicles 2. It's the sequel to Christmas Chronicles from 2 years ago. It stars Kurt Russell. And Joe, do you want to take the story for this one?
Yeah, sure. As you said, Christmas Chronicles Part 2, which always leads me to think, oh, they're setting this up for a franchise now, you know, at least like a trilogy. I'm sure we'll probably see the Christmas Chronicles Part 3, you know, in the next couple of years. But yeah, it takes a place a couple of years after the first film. And Darby Camp returns as Kate. She is the young girl that we meet in the first film. And we meet her as she's on vacation with her family. It doesn't look very Christmassy at all, much to the displeasure of Kate. And she's there with her, like, maybe future stepbrother called Jack, and Tyrese Gibson, who plays Bob, who's her mother's new love interest. And they're all under the impression that this holiday is going to end in an engagement. She decides to run away, and Jack sneaks away with her. They're kind of approached by Julian Dennison, Ricky Baker from Hunt of the Wilder People, who I absolutely adore. He plays a Bellsnickel, and he approaches them, and he ends up sending them through a portal to the North Pole in an attempt to basically sneak back into the North Pole himself. It turns out Bellsnickel is a former elf who wants to seek to cause mayhem and steal the star on top of the Christmas tree in the North Pole. So I was a big fan of the first Christmas Chronicles. It was just so refreshing at the time. I think that year, I can't remember a lot of Christmas stuff. I mean, I'm sure Rachel saw about 250 Christmas movies that year. So she might, I'm not sure how she feels about it, but I thought it was really, really lovely. And I thought Kurt Russell was absolutely fantastic in that film. And I really loved the musical number he gets halfway through that film, and I was very, very pleased to see that he gets a musical number this time around as well. Even though it is a sort of contrivance to the plot, it's sort of just put there for the sake of it, really, more than anything. If you liked the first film, I think you're going to really like this. I think there are a lot of elements, obviously, left over from the first film, which really work here. I know my nephews absolutely loved it, and I can see why, because this time around, you've got a juggle cat, you know, you've got more kind of action this time around. There's this whole middle sequence where the elves go a bit crazy, like they're on catnip or something like that, because there's this spray goes out over the town square and all these elves go a bit crazy. And then you've got a juggle cat and he's like trying to fight one of the reindeer, I think Prancer or something like that, and it's got those kind of big kind of action moments. And the kid's got like a toy gun, and he's like shooting all the elves at some point. I can totally see why, if you're an 8-year-old boy or girl or whatever, you're going to watch it, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. For me, it did sort of miss some of the magic of the first film. This definitely obviously felt like a cash-in, really. Obviously, the first film was so successful, and kind of ending on that whole kind of notion that Goldie Hawn is Mrs. Claus, they kind of had to come back and give her sort of a bigger role in this as well. I think it's more of the same, which is fine. There's some moments which just baffled me, like it's got Who Let the Dogs Out in there at some point. I mean, I thought we were over that now. That song was released like 20 years ago, and that kind of struck me. That struck me as weird, because I was like, of all the popular songs you could use right now, I don't know why Chris Columbus has used Who Let the Dogs Out. I have no idea. But anyway, that's just me again, finicky. It's not Chris Columbus's best holiday movie. He's never going to meet that high standard of something like Home Alone. But if you like the first film, there's still a lot I think you'll get out of this. And it certainly kind of does that whole sequel thing of making it bigger, but not necessarily better. What did you think, Rachel?
So y'all are going to think I'm a super grumpy goose, but because I wasn't a huge fan of this either. It was fine. I liked it better than the Dolly Parton movie. And I was a big fan of the first one. I really enjoyed it. This one, to me, the fact that the little girl is the lead of this film, she was kind of irritating. She was, I don't know. I just got really annoyed with her and her attitude. And then I actually think that Julian Dennison is kind of terrible. I think that he seems like a nice young man and everything, but as far as his acting in this and in Deadpool, I think he was terrible in that, and I think he's pretty terrible in this. But I love Kurt Russell. He's amazing. I love Goldie Hawn in this. So all of that was so fun. I loved the fact that there was sort of jokes about is the North Pole kind of woke or not, which I thought was funny. Played for laughs. She knows that, well, if she planned it all out, why isn't it Mrs. Claus's village? Why is it Santa's village? That was funny. So I enjoyed that. It has a nice message, but I didn't go fresh on it. It's not an awful movie, but I couldn't go fresh on it.
Well, it's a rotten for Rachel, but is it rotten for you? Go and check it out. Christmas Chronicles 2 is available on Netflix now.
How can you not like the lights and the decorations?
This is beautiful.
Come with me to my parents' house for Christmas. Blame it on Christmas.
Abby, you and Harper have a perfect relationship.
She is my person, and I really want everyone to know that. I want to marry her. I'm going to ask her dad for his blessing.
Way to stick it to the patriarchy.
There's something that we should talk about. Do you remember when I came out to my parents? That's not entirely accurate.
Hi!
My perfect girl.
As long as she's our supermom.
Harper is our powerhouse. And Jane...
I have asked you not to do that.
I know, I didn't listen.
Abby, everything okay?
Yeah. There's one tiny thing. Harper isn't out and her parents don't know we're together.
Abby?
So her parents believe their straight daughter brought home her lesbian friend?
They also think that I'm straight.
Have they ever met a lesbian?
That's Harper's high school boyfriend.
Do you have a boyfriend, Abby?
I actually just went through a breakup.
Oh, no.
With, Milk, a man.
Okay.
It is very difficult to sit next to you at dinner and not be able to kiss you.
What are you doing in the closet? Bells ring
out on the street. I see her here and she's so terrified of what everyone thinks.
I can relate being in love with somebody that is too afraid to show the world who they are.
I will tell them everything after the holidays.
Do you know how painful it's been to watch the person that I love hide me?
I am not hiding you. I am hiding me.
Isn't this the best time of year?
Everybody's story is different. Just because Harper isn't ready, it doesn't mean she doesn't love you. You look great in this coat. Hi.
Are you the ex-boyfriend?
Yes, I am Abby's heterosexual ex-boyfriend, and I have come to get her back.
Enjoy.
Okay, I nailed that, and she is fabulous.
Moving on to our last film of the show, and this is Happier Season. This is directed by Clea DuVall, and it stars Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis. They play a couple who Mackenzie Davis's character loves Christmas. Kristen Stewart's character doesn't like Christmas. She's an orphan. Her parents died around Christmas time, so she's never really had a connection to it. And Mackenzie Davis asks Kristen Stewart to come with her to visit her parents over Christmas time. And Kristen Stewart's idea is basically to propose to Harper on Christmas morning. However, there's a big loophole in all this. Mackenzie Davis's character Harper has not told her parents that they are dating. She hasn't even told her parents that she has come out and she is gay. And hilarity ensues. I was really looking forward to this movie. It was set to get a theatre release and it has been released on streaming. But frankly, I think it works just as well on streaming. And I rented this. I paid the money. It was a good price. I was like, I went all for it. And I'm so glad I did. I absolutely loved and adored this film so much. It took my mind off everything that was going on in the world. I think that's what we all need right now. We spoke a bit before about Broken Hearts Gallery. It works in the same way. It's a real form of escapism. It isn't just a great Christmas film that you can fall in love with. It's a really important film about LGBTQ relationships. And I thought the way it executed that was just really, really brilliantly. You really sympathize and feel for the characters, more so for Kristen Stewart's character, because obviously she's been basically hid away from the family. Mackenzie Davis's father is a mayor, he's running for mayor. So they basically say that Kristen Stewart is just her roommate and they're not in a relationship, they're just friends. And through the course of the story, Abby, played by Kristen Stewart, is just pushed away. And you really sympathize with her. And I thought that was an interesting dynamic between the two of them, because although you should hate Harper's character for kind of not acknowledging it, I felt like towards the end of the film they explain it really, really well. The cast are just terrific in this. Daniel Levy, I thought, has such great comedic timing. He plays Kristen Stewart's best friend in this. Aubrey Plaza plays the ex who comes back into the scene. I thought she had some great one-liners as well. Alison Brie, I loved as the really kind of horrible, nasty sister who thinks her life is perfect and is trying to outdo the other sisters. And of course, Jane, the other sister, who just steals every scene she's in. I thought the cast were excellent. And I think in the wrong hands with the wrong director, this could have come across as really cliched, really generic, really predictable, and which it does get slightly predictable towards the third act. But for me, I was swept up in the story. I thought it was hilariously funny. And not only that, it's such a sweet, heartwarming, feel-good, festive film that has something really important to say about LGBTQ relationships. So I loved it. It's in my top 10 of the year so far. Wow. Coming in at number 9. Mm. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Really surprised me. Go out and rent it. Yeah, I loved it. What do you guys think of it?
So I enjoyed it. I gave this one fresh. So
nice.
finally well read. Yes, I enjoyed it. I definitely related to it because I have a sister that's gay, and we have a very conservative family. And we never had this experience because she's actually been abroad since she came out. But I still related to it, and I felt that Mary Steenburgen was hilarious. I think she was actually one of the stronger parts of the film. And Dan Levy, he's not in it that much, but he's funny in the scenes that he's in, and he also has a very moving speech that he gives about coming out that I think is really good. So overall, all of that I enjoyed. I think that the relationship part of it would have worked better if they had been a little bit younger, because I think Harper, what she does to Kristen Stewart's character is really mean. I mean, it's awful. And I think it would be more understandable if she was 18, 19, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But for her to be in her 30s and still putting her girlfriend through this horrible experience is a little bit harder to understand, I think. So there's a whole bunch of people who think that that Kristen Stewart's character should have ended up with Audrey Plaza's character instead.
That was me. Yeah.
I think there's a case
get
to
away
be
from
made.
Her, Kristen Stewart.
Because what Harper does is awful. I mean, what she puts this person that she loves through is really bad. And there's particularly one thing towards the end where I was like, oh, they're still doing that in movies today, huh? Okay. That seemed a little outdated to me. And that was interesting. But I think that would have probably been a little bit better if they had made them a little bit younger. Mm. But I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was cute and funny. And I liked her younger sister is funny. That she is basically her survival tactic has been basically going to Middle Earth.
Yes.
Yeah. In her mind. So she survived this family.
Yeah.
And but Mary Steenburgen, I thought she was so funny.
Yeah, she is great. And she plays that character so well. And I think that's one of the great things about this film is mm-hmm. that it perfectly captures that awkwardness of going into a family unit for the first time and not really knowing the kind of family politics and, the different roles, that each kind of person plays. And I think the script really kind of does a great job of putting that across, that feeling of going to meet somebody's family for the first time. I think it does great. And we've seen it before, with like something like Meet the Parents, being like the kind of big mm-hmm. one with Ben Stiller, but that's kind of over the top comedy there. And I think this film nails the kind of comedy really well, because, there are a couple of like set pieces. There's a set piece where Kristen Stewart's kind of, trying to sneak upstairs to the bedroom and she gets kind of locked in a closet, which, is really funny, but otherwise I think it hits the tone really well, and I just really loved it. I thought the script is so great, and before we recorded I watched an interview with Claire Duvall just to hear her kind of thoughts behind it and then the writing behind it, and obviously it's kind of based somewhat on personal experience, but mm-hmm. the interesting thing is that she says in there she didn't seek to vilify anybody, and I think that's the great thing about it. Even though Harper does things, and I sat there and I was like, are you kidding me? I was getting so wound up with the things that Harper was doing. that, you know, I didn't really like her as a character because of the things she was doing, I still the whole time kind of understood the reasoning behind it. And I think that's what the script does wonderfully, is it gives all these people, these fully realized people, you know, reasoning for being the way that they are. And you might not agree with what they do, and you might not think that what they do is very nice, but by the end of the film, you can kind of go, well, okay, I don't like that you did that, but I can sort of see why you did that. And like you said, Rachel, you know, there's a wonderful speech at the end which kind of sums all that up. And I think it's just nice as well to see like an LGBTQ plus like story, which isn't like totally about unrequited love. I think we get used to seeing these films, you know, like Call Me By Your Name, which kind of have a kind of sadness about them, you know, a kind of sad quality to it. And it gives this kind of misrepresentation that, you know, all gay love stories are going to end in sadness or you know, are going to be depressing. That's not the case at all. And I think it's lovely to see a gay love story being told, you know, packaged in a Christmas movie, in a festive film. You know, Dan, we interviewed David Frayne, you know, middle of the year about Dating Amber. That was another example of, and he said at the time when we interviewed him, you know, like that he went out of his way to make a film which was like a comedy, you know, more than anything, because we are so often used to seeing these stories with unhappy endings and sad endings. Yeah. So I think that's really refreshing as well. And that's important, that we get to a stage where, you know, you can tell this type of story without having it to be, you know, Timothy Chalamet crying at a fireplace, you know, at the end. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really lovely. And of all the Christmas films, you know, I've watched over the past week, it's definitely the one which felt fresh and original, even though it's got that sense of familiarity, like we have seen this film before. It felt fresh, it felt original, and that's mainly the script and mainly the fact that I love Jane. I love Jane so much. She's so great. And there's a moment with her towards the end, which I won't spoil, but both of you will probably know. There's a moment towards the end where they're doing the white elephant party or whatever. And she kind of breaks down, and it made me cry. Like, I was sad one moment and then laughing the next moment. So it's definitely that kind of movie where, you know, if you engage with it, if you connect with it, it's going to be an emotional roller coaster, and I certainly had that kind of experience.
I tell you what, thank goodness there's no girls behind bars drinking whiskey. I'll tell you what. Sorry, yeah. Dolly, but you, I mean, yeah. What can I say? Yeah. But there we are. Yes.
It is a very sweet film, and it just wears its heart on its sleeve.
Yes.
And I agree with you about what you said about I feel like everybody deserves to have their stories told. And if all they see is these painful, horrible kind of experiences, not that those shouldn't also be told, but they should have rom-coms, fun rom-coms too. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly that. Definitely. So yeah, that's definitely really refreshing as well. And that and Dating Amber this year, I think, have been great examples of that storytelling. And hopefully that'll continue into, and David Frayne said himself a few months ago, not just romance, like make horror movies based around it, you know, make all sorts of different types of genre movies around LGBTQ themes. So hopefully it'll continue. And yeah, this is really great. So, you know, of all the choices I think we've discussed on this show, if you've got to pick one, Happiest Season is the one, I think, for me.
Definitely.
Oh, by
champion
far,
this
yeah.
film. And you can catch Happiest Season, you can rent it digitally on all good streaming platforms. That's what we've got time for on today's show. It's flown by. So we've discussed some interesting Christmas movies. again, you can catch all these on streaming, so you don't need to go to the theatres to catch them. But a big thank you again to Rachel Wagner, our guest. Always a pleasure to have you on, Rachel. First things first, obviously, we've got Christmas coming up. I mean, it's a stupid question to ask, but obviously you are very excited for Christmas. What are your plans?
Well, a lot of times I end up going to a movie on Christmas, but I don't know if that'll happen this year. So I'll probably end up spending the day with my parents again, which will be really fun. And they have a projector in their basement, so it's pretty fun to actually watch on the wall. They can project a film. So
nice.
That's always fun. That's probably what we'll do.
Definitely. I wish I had a projector in my room. That sounds
great. Yeah, that sounds really great.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time. And before you go, Rachel, would you like to just promote yourself? Can you tell everybody where people can find you online, your YouTube channel?
Yeah, you can find me at Rachel's Reviews on YouTube, on all the podcast platforms, and also at the Hallmarkies podcast, where we have reviewing all the holiday films.
Thank you, Rachel. It's been a pleasure as always. And thank you again for listening. You can catch all our old episodes on Spotify, on Apple Music Podcast. You can always catch us on Mixcloud as well. And don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We're under the Dan and Joe Film Show on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram at DJ Film Show. So thank you again for listening, and we'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Don't give away other people's babies.